providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting precious metals as we are chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of The Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, look, we were chatting off mic about what is there to talk about in this sector, and we were looking at the gold price, and surprise, surprise, gold is right at 1800. I don't know how many times we outlined that gold has been at 1800 this year, but it really has just moved a little bit higher, a little bit lower, right around that 1800 level. The problem is, at least for the sector right now, is that the stocks are down at or testing some near-term breakdown levels. As I look at GDX, GDX is right around 30 right now, but the real hard support level is just above 28. So that's less than 10% lower. There's a lot of moving averages that are coming in right around that 28 to 30 level. So the stocks are trading like gold should be, maybe down around that 1670 level. But again, gold is well over $100 higher than that. Jordan, what's your takeaway from the stocks at least holding these breakdown levels, but being much, much weaker than the underlying metal?
Well, Corey, they were oversold last week. My custom breadth readings for the stocks were in single digits as far as a percentage that closed above the 20-day and the 50-day. So when those get to single digits, usually there's a rally. So I think we're seeing an oversold bounce. And my immediate question is, will this bounce fade sooner rather than later? Or will the bounce extend into January and we get that token January bounce coming out of a bad year that we've seen so many times in precious metals? But with respect to gold outperforming, one thing that's interesting, I forget where I got this chart, but one reason why the stocks have underperformed and why they underperform after a peak is fundamentally, if you look at, and this happened after the 2016 peak and it's happened after the 2020 peak, the reason they underperform is they're reflecting worse margins, because this chart that I have, it shows that the costs of producers, like, they're still rising. They're trending higher after the gold price has peaked. And so the gold price is not going higher, yet the costs have been going higher even after the peaks. So it's, you know, not like a revolutionary explanation. When you look at it on a chart, you realize, oh, this makes a lot of sense. So to me, that's why we're seeing the stocks underperform. Like, their margins are, you know, the costs are going up and the gold price is well below where it was at the peak. I mean, almost $300 below. But I would say, with respect to, you know, the stocks reflecting 1700 gold instead of gold at 1800 where it is, I mean, that usually not always, but that usually portends to more gold weakness at some point. And I look at the, you know, I look at the technicals on gold. I look at the sentiment, the net spec position in gold. I mean, it's not at a lower extreme. I think about the Fed hiking rates. I mean, we're following the percentages every day, and those are getting higher for a sooner rather than later rate hike. And so to me, that just tells me that my bias is to the downside, at least until the Fed hikes rates. Once they hike rates, like, that's what I'm really hoping for, is to see when the Fed executes the first rate hike, that sentiment is really blown out to the downside, you know, and breadth as well, you know, long-term breadth indicators are in single digits or whatever. I mean, that's what I'm hoping for, that kind of combination, because then, you know, after that happens, like, we can get a really good rally that won't just fizzle out after a month or two. Like, it'll continue at least for, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months.
Yeah, Jordan, we've actually mentioned a couple times, I think maybe 2 weeks back, we had talked about how before a rate hiking cycle from the central banks, typically the precious metals sell down into that. But then after the rate hiking cycle starts, especially after the first hike, it's usually a bullish tailwind for the precious metals. Do you think if they announce a series of hikes, like, hey, we're going to do 3 this year and maybe 3 or 4 next year, that that's still constructive for the precious metals? Or would a series of rate hikes, not just a one-off deal, but a lot of them, would that eventually pressure the precious metals?
Well, to me, this is the real important question. I mean, it's not whether the Fed is going to hike or not, because we can look at the percentages and the market's discounting three hikes next year. It's really what is going to happen after they do the first hike. Are they going to be able to continue to hike like you're asking, or if they're going to have to pause because the economy slows down at some point? So it really depends on what the economic outlook is exactly. And what I mean by that is, you know, some economists are thinking we're going to slow down dramatically in the second half of next year, and that you could see growth get pretty close to zero. And so if that happens, you know, the Fed might want to get in a couple of hikes before that becomes an issue. And so if they hike a couple times and then they have to pause for quite a while, that's going to be similar to 2016. And we might get an extended rally in precious metals because of that. But I mean, if the Fed is going to be able to hike, like you're saying, you know, three rate hikes the next couple of years, it's going to depend on, are we going to be in a period of inflation where inflation remains stubborn and high around, you know, 4, 5, 6%, and that's why they're hiking? You know, precious, that could still, you know, that precious metals could do really well if it's an inflation issue because they have to hike. However, if it's a disinflation issue and inflation's, you know, 3 or 4% next year, and then it comes down to 2% the year after, and there's still enough growth where they can hike rates and they don't mind, you know, about inverting the curve and, you know, hurting the stock market, that sort of thing, you would see gold and silver, they'd have the rally after the first hike, but then they'd probably fizzle out and consolidate for a while. I saw one analyst that I really respect, Barry Bannister, and he, I don't really know what his views on inflation are, but based on all the things he's looking at, you know, if inflation doesn't become an issue and we, you know, kind of go down the disinflation route, I mean, he's projecting that just a 1% Fed funds rate in the middle of 2023, that's 18 months away, just a 1% rate could be enough to push the market into a bear market. So there's, to me, it's unclear what's going to happen after they do the first hike. And that is the real question. And I mean, I think eventually, you know, eventually we're going to see something that's really bullish for gold and we'll get that big breakout. But I think it's more, that's more likely to happen in 2023. And it's just a question of, is it because the economy next, at the end of next year, is it because the economy is slowing down to, you know, near zero, and that lawmakers get together and they do more fiscal stimulus before the election? You know, that can be a catalyst for gold in 2023. Or is it because, you know, inflation just remains stubbornly high, like it remains around 4 or 5%, and growth really comes down close to zero, and you know, you have the stagflation type of situation? So I know it wasn't a direct answer, but that's how I'm looking at the scenarios post the first rate hike, which is probably going to be in March or May at this point. I'd probably guess May.
Jordan, on more short-term basis, you mentioned how the gold stocks were oversold just really a couple trading days ago, maybe about a week ago. How do you manage your portfolio after a year that was tough on a lot of these stocks and a lot of these stocks were sold off, but it does sound like you're seeing at least some short-term potential of a rebound in some of the stocks? How do you trade those using your technicals?
Well, I think what people should do, they should use a potential bounce in January. You know, it's the boomerang effect, I call it, from tax loss selling. I mean, I would use that and this general rally, if it extends into January, I would use that to reshuffle your portfolio. What I mean by that is dump the dogs, dump the laggards, you know, stocks that you bought, they're not really working out and you're just holding on to them because of hope. You know, I would use the strength to get rid of those types of positions, build some cash, and then eventually you're going to replace those with better companies. And that's one thing to look at is, you know, you can assess your positions by comparing them to other stocks. And that can, you know, help you figure out, you know, should I really continue to own this? Because there might be something I don't own that's, you know, has much better prospects and is trading at a good price. That's another thing, you know, given the last, the sell-off that we've really seen since the summer and the potential that we could see, you know, more weakness after this tax loss bounce. I would also look at companies that are having good results and doing good work, and yet it's not really being rewarded by the market. I would try and find those companies, because those are the ones that are going to really lead when metals prices turn, you know, after that first rate hike.
Absolutely, Jordan. And there are still companies out there, believe it or not, despite the negative sentiment, that are doing good work, that have good drill programs, that have good development projects, or have a way to grow their production profile. So good time to be building your watch list and looking to do some horse trading at the beginning of the year. Just before we wrap up, though, Jordan, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about your new video you put up today, which is Silver in 2022. $50 or $15? Boom or crash? So what is your outlook for silver for next year, Jordan?
Well, that's a clickbaity title, so I apologize about that. I don't think silver is going to go to either of those levels. Obviously, it's much closer to 15 at this point, sadly for all of us silver bulls. But, you know, looking at that Fed rate hike data, I mean, silver has an average rebound of 42-44%, depending on if you measure closing prices or intraday prices. And I see very strong support in silver around 1870. That's a very strong level. So if silver, like let's just say over the next 3 or 4 months, silver trends lower, it gets closer to that target. And it looks like, you know, the Fed basically says, oh, we're going to do this hike in March, or we're going to do the hike in May. That would set up where we're probably going to see a pretty good rally. And so I think, you know, looking at the chart, I think 25 is pretty stiff resistance. So I think the rebound from the Fed hike, you know, looking at that data, it puts me at where I think an end of the year target could be 24 or 25 for silver. Now, on the other hand, let's say the Fed, they do this hike, but then there's a real issue with the economy decelerating towards zero, and you get like more fiscal stimulus before the election. If you get into that type of situation, you know, that's where you could have silver rally to 28, and you could have gold rally, you know, to 2070, the old, the 2020 high. Because if we're looking at the data for gold, and we're just assessing these percentage rebounds, you know, depending on where it bottoms, you can see, you know, something in the high 1900s, you know, 2000 or maybe, you know, in that scenario that I just described, maybe it goes back to the high at 2070. So I think that would be the upper end, the bullish case for both silver and gold. But, you know, more realistically, that's what I'm looking at. I think if silver trends lower below 20, then I would look at, you know, a target of 24 or 25 on the rebound after the rate hike.
All right, Jordan, thank you for your time today. That is wrapping up the weekend edition, this Christmas special. I hope everybody enjoyed this show. We were busy this whole week, still releasing a lot of market commentary and bringing on some pretty important company updates from this week, including Novo, Silvercrest, and even Bunker Hill Mining. Be sure to visit our website, click on those weekday show postings, and let us know what you think. Flex at KEReport.com and chat at KEReport.com. We love hearing from each and every one of you, and we hope you all have a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holiday Season.